Welcome to the Digital Workplace Deep Dive. I am your host, Patricia Zavera. And you probably may all wonder what happened to Weston Morris, who usually hosts this. Please don't panic. He has not given up. In fact, Weston has just completed the 50th episode of this fantastic podcast. So we decided to do something fun and flip this episode around and have him as a guest. We thought it would be great to actually go back and find some of the most interesting snippets from those past episodes and share them with you today. And I'm just so excited to say that the man himself, the absolute industry legend, is in the other seat, and I get the pleasure to ask all the difficult questions today. Weston, I am just delighted to have this opportunity. And before I ask all those difficult questions, I just really want to congratulate you on your career to date, because it has been one hell of a fantastic ride. You are a thought leader, a visionary, an innovator who has got this amazing ability to bring people together to really accomplish big things. And I have the pleasure to work with you and see this every day. But before I worked with you and before I actually joined Unisys 3 years ago, like anyone joining in your organization, I did my research. And guess what? I stumbled upon your podcast on XLAs at the time. And we were just starting on this journey with my previous firm. But I thought, wow, these guys at Unisys are actually taking this to the next level. Well, and the rest is history. I joined. I never looked back. I've been here 3 years. And by the way, we'll pivot back to the XLA episode and perhaps cover a little bit more on the overall experience later on. But this is about you. And you have just received the Mark Cohn Lifetime Achievement Award here at Unisys. Beautiful. Thank you for showcasing. And we couldn't think of a more deserving winner of this award. So congratulations. But where I wanted to start perhaps is actually from the beginning, right? And really get you to tell us a little bit about where and how and when you started your journey in the digital workplace field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go sound like I'm going way back to the very beginning, but I actually will just a little bit. You know, I attribute it to my parents. I mean, so, you know, my mom, I often say, you know, she was born in a log cabin and delivered by a veterinarian. How could she possibly, you know, drive me to be interested in IT? But she was always curious, always, you know, on the farm that she grew up on, always asking her dad, my grandpa, you know, how do things work and how to understand how technology works, whatever the technology is. And she's still that way today. She's over 90 and she will record some health program on her computer, transfer it over to an editing program and edit out the commercials and then send it to the less techie friends of hers, you know, that they can listen to it. It just cracks me up, you know, that she does this. So that curiosity from her. My dad, he was always, he grew up during the Depression and you know, you didn't have money, right? You just had to fix everything. And so he was always trying to figure out how to, the debugging process. How do you repair things? What's wrong? That thought process. And I think both of those, you know, led me to, you know, I was just, when I started college, it was like, how does a computer work? And so I really wanted to know how a computer worked. And that's what was driving me. It was just the curiosity. And once I learned, I go, oh, now we can do things with this. And of course, my dad's, training and natural ability with regard to debugging things, of course, landed itself very well towards being a programmer and being able to solve problems with that. And then later, solving problems in consulting with our clients. That curiosity, what do you do? How does a bank work? How does this work? And it's just so thrilling for me to understand how all these processes that we use as a consumer, what's going on behind the scenes, and then helping them to figure out what's the technology that's going to make that better. Especially for the employees, the digital workplace side of things. So that's what's led me here.
Oh, fantastic. I love that link to the employees. You know, many of the listeners may know I manage a large team, and that employee experience and employee focus is at the core of everything we do. And my heart is really deeply in that aspect. But listen, I mentioned that before I joined Unisys, I was actually searching on XLAs and experience, and this was one of the very few that covered that topic. And I can see that link to curiosity now. And I love how you tackle what's current, what's important to the industry in every single podcast that you do. 50 podcasts, thousands of listeners to date, right? How has the podcast evolved since the first episode?
You know, I knew you were going to ask that question, so I actually went back to look at it, and it kind of caught me by surprise because we've been living the journey, and then you take a step back and realize what that journey was. You know, prior to the pandemic, we were focused a lot on how do we reduce the cost of providing a digital workplace, the tools, the support that end users need to do their work. And that was what it was all about: automation, RPA, those sorts of things. Then the pandemic hit. And it totally changed. And you'll look, there was no episode on XLA prior to that. And the great resignation and the focus of business on, like, ooh, how do we keep our employees happy? How do we keep them productive at home, at work, you know, if they're working remotely? That really changed things around. And that, I think, kickstarted the need to focus on experience level agreements or employee experience. How do we measure it? How do we improve it? That shift a little bit after the pandemic as the pendulum swung a bit back towards the business. But it's a balanced view, I think, at this point. It isn't just about cost reduction. It isn't just about making your employees super happy. It's how do I provide an environment that does make them happy, but ideally is giving productivity, the optimal productivity back to the business. And it turns out that using XLAs and focusing on employee experience is very key to that, because if you think about it, anytime you've had a bad experience as a consumer, whether it's with a call center or at the retail or airlines or whatever it is, a lot of times the reason you had a bad experience is because the employees, the client-facing employees at that company, are having a bad IT experience, and they just pass that on to you. It hurts you as well. So there's a strong connection between customer experience and employee experience. And that's, I think, where we're at today.
Oh, absolutely. And we often talk about this link between CX, EX, and BX, right? And by the way, for the listeners who joined us, we will be posting some links to previous podcasts we're talking about. Because of course, with 50 of them, there's a plethora of knowledge and fantastic industry insights. Weston, can you share perhaps one of your favorite moments or episodes from your podcast? And just tell us what made it memorable for you, of course, as a host, right? Because I can imagine there've been some fantastic histories you could tell us.
You know, it's things that make me smile, laugh, unexpected things. I'll just give maybe a couple examples. Episode 27. So going back a little bit, about halfway through the series, I interviewed Neil Miller. He's the host of another podcast that I highly recommend, The Digital Workplace. He's had a lot of guests, and to prepare for it, I went back and listened to several of his recordings, his podcast. And I noticed at the beginning of every one of them, he does this CAPTCHA test. You know, the CAPTCHA test to see if you're a bot.
Are
He
you a real
does it at the
person?
start of his podcast. So he asks the question that, you know, like only a human can answer, at least before Gen AI. I don't know if he's had to change things since then. But I use that to open up our episode with him and asking him. I think what I asked him was about, you know, what are his travel plans, and why would you be making that trip? So I was pretty sure Neil Miller is not a bot. So that was cool. He did a one of my favorite episodes that he did that we talked about was the seven types of meetings. He's actually written an ebook on it. And I learned a lot by looking at that. I thought I knew how to run a meeting, but then I realized there really should be a very different structure for different types of meetings. As an example, one where you're dispersing information, you know, you just want everyone to be quiet and listen, and absorb. So how do you present information in a way that'll be absorbed properly? There's others that are like a brainstorming session where you really want a lot of collaboration. You've got meetings where you first need to do some ice breaking, you know, to get people, they don't know each other. So how do you get things started to get the juices flowing? One of the things that he did, he mentions that on his website, he's got like 150 different icebreakers. And
Oh,
he's,
wow.
yeah, I know it's a lot. So I said, give me an example of one. And he thought for a second and he says, okay, here's one. What would people find out about me if they rummage through my recycling bin and stuff I've thrown out, you know, over the last week? And I just love it. You just imagine, Patricia, you know, people looking through ours.
Horror and shock on my face. Please don't. Oh, dear. Great idea, by the way. Love it.
Yeah. But it gets you to, you know, talk about yourself. Well, I would be throwing, I'm very conscientious, or, you know, I just toss it all in, or whatever, you know, it would reveal a few things about you. Another episode similar to that was, I interviewed Jim Kaulbach. That was actually the very next episode, number 28. He's a TED Talk speaker. He's also the evangelist for a company, Mural, Mural. that provides collaboration tools. So I asked him, you know, hey, obviously you use your own tools. What is one thing you do to encourage, almost like an icebreaker as well, but it might be for a team meeting where people were getting, you all know each other, but you know, how are you feeling? You know, that kind of thing. And he says, oh yeah, we've got this thing called Pick Your Nick. Yeah. I had that same puzzle. Look, Pick Your Nick. What do you mean? He says,
Pick Your
oh
Nick,
yeah.
Yes.
So he showed me, he dragged it up. It was like 9 different photos of Nicolas Cage from various movies he's been in. And we all, if you've you know, ever watched him, he's got a wide range of, you know, from crazy to confused, to happy, to sad, to in love.
Romantic, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. So he just throws that up at the start of the meeting, and everybody in the meeting drags their name, you know, onto the Nicolas Cage that they feel like today. And that may, you know, cause a little bit of conversation, but at least, even if it doesn't, you're going, okay, I can see that someone's having a bad day or someone's super excited. And that kind of sets the stage for a, you know, a regular meeting where you've got people getting together, maybe for a status call or something like that. So
I love this. Yeah, no, fantastic examples. Thank you. And one of those perhaps great opportunities to kind of, you know, talk about how you feel. And you're right, I don't think we cover that enough, you know, in meetings and conversations, but expressing your you know, state of emotions by just kind of, you know, doing something as simple as that without going into any detail, right? I think many would feel that's one for stealing, by the way. Try and do that, maybe open a meeting like this. Thank you for sharing that. Fantastic. So these were memorable to you as a host. Obviously, these are the ones that you clearly kept so many memories from and, you know, things that you perhaps implemented in day-to-day life. But what do you think were those that were the most popular podcasts, you know, those that, of course, hit thousands of listeners? And why do you think they struck the chord with our audience?
Yeah, I'm glad you let me know to think about that question ahead of time. So we got some data from the marketing folks to pull up the stats on the podcast. And it was surprising to me in some cases. Others, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't, you know, number one. But I will say the top one that over the years has actually been an early one, number 16. I interviewed Ian Fisher well before the pandemic, like I think the 7 or 8 months beforehand, asking him for predictions about digital workplace and IT. He gave 5 predictions. And then the pandemic hit. And so it was coming up time for episode 16. I says, you know what? I'm going to go back and look at Ian Fisher's predictions and see how many of those actually still make sense or hold true or have value now that we're in a pandemic. And all but one really, really, you know, really held up over time. You know, they were still useful. I won't share all those. I just, you know, hey, if you want to listen to that, go listen to that podcast again.
Yes.
Episode number 16. But I did focus on one thing. I actually went back and listened to it again last night. This is still very applicable today. He talked about the importance of agility. And that was definitely during the pandemic, right? You had to react. Anything, we weren't talking about, you know, how important it is to work from home and to have video and all. We weren't talking about that in February of 2020. But by April, everybody was talking about it, right?
Yeah.
So agility is definitely needed. And he also highlighted that there's a big difference between what IT thinks employees need a lot of times versus what they actually need. And he really drove down on the importance of providing an experience that is going to enable employees to just do their job, to be productive. And you have to be measuring that experience. IT doesn't necessarily know best. And that is still very true. I would say even more true today.
Fantastic example. I love these predictions, you know, in all kind of sort of industries. And I think it's always interesting to sometimes potentially reinvite the guests. And to your point, right, great to hear that you re-listened last night and many of these predictions hold true, you know, just pivoting to a slightly different passion of mine, you know, a big cryptocurrency fan. And I often listen to episodes and there's always this dreaded question around, what do you think the price of Bitcoin will be by year end? And then what they do, they re-invite you back a couple of months later or, you know, obviously next year and say, remember what you said there? So no, fantastic pivot there. And I think a great story around Ian predictions. And of course, we'll re-invite all of our audience to listen back to that, right? And as you said, agility. being such a strong common denominator when it came to post-pandemic change of that whole, attitude in terms of what was important. Fantastic story. Was there any more, Weston?
Well, there's actually one, the episode 47, not just very recently, that I did with you. I said we need to sit down and talk with Patricia Sobera because you just keep winning these awards. I see at least one back on your desk back there, two or three, and now that I look a little bit more closely. But HDI, SDI, other organizations recognizing the great work that you're doing in delivering a great experience in supporting people in IT in the digital workplace. So I said, well, okay, well, if you're that successful, let's find out why, what's different about what you're doing. And I was thinking, oh, is it going to be technology? Is it some, is there some secret sauce? And it turned out there was a bit of secret sauce. It's how you work with your people. And you told this story about how one of your service desk agents in the middle of the day just shout out, I saved a life. And people that weren't knowing what was going on were like, what are you talking about? You saved a life. We help people with PCs, right? And so the person explained, well, what's actually happening there is I know my client. My client is a hospital. That person that I was helping was an emergency desk, not agent, admitting person. And I just imagine their PC being down, my grandma coming in with a heart attack, not being able to be registered to come in for help. And that actually delaying things long enough that she didn't get the help she needed and, possibly die. So that is how seriously you've trained your people to pay attention to their work, thinking about not what they're doing, but why they're doing it, the customer and what they're doing. And that connection, I think, is just brilliant. I mean, that, and for that reason, I think that was a very highly rated episode, Patricia.
Oh, thank you for bringing that. Warms my heart. And as you said, it's all about the team and the teamwork. And we have some fantastic people working here at Unisys. But you're right, it's all about that bigger picture. I had the pleasure of actually assisting with a new go live for a new client yesterday. And that sense of belonging, that understanding of the business, the values, right? That business is there to deliver to the public or their end users is just so crucial. And in fact, these boot camps, we do these boot camps to really give our agents and our associates the opportunity to really feel and see what it means to work for our clients. And I think that's a perfect example of that. I save the life story and actually that meaning right behind what we do every day. No, thank you for that. That's fantastic to hear.
So I would, maybe I'll pull up just one more example.
Please, yes.
Episode number 43. So a lot, as you commented earlier, a lot of the episodes are dealing with XLAs and experience. That just really exploded since the pandemic, and it's just so important. But the other topic that has impacted the digital workplace starting early last year is generative AI. So there's just a demand for to understand that and to know it. So I thought let's I invited Dr. Suzanne Taylor to talk about, to just explain to me, and I'll, as I'm listening and learning, I know our guests will as well. I mean, one of the big questions I had is, okay, we've had AI for a long time. We're now calling it traditional AI, machine learning, natural language processing, things like that. What is the difference between that traditional AI and this new Gen AI, generative AI? And she boiled it down so simply. I love it, but I invite guests to go back and listen to the whole episode. She gave the example of, well, traditional AI is really about recognizing patterns. So, for example, if you had a bunch of photos of graffiti, of maybe in London, where you are there, Patricia, you might say, you might train it to be able to identify Banksys because those are real, right? And you want to protect them, actually. It's a great thing. So that's what it does. It identifies and it has this pattern recognition, whereas generative AI is about creating, taking all this knowledge and then creating something. So, for example, the difference between the two, I might say, okay, go identify all the Banksys, and then I could talk to generative AI and say, I want to make a graphic for a presentation I've got that's about how bots are taking over the world, and make it look like a Banksy, and it could do that, and that's the difference: the pattern recognition versus the creating of new content. I thought that was
Oh,
very,
I
it's
love
very helpful
this.
for me.
I do you know what? It was actually, I remember this episode very well because I actually recommended to all of my team to listen to this. And I think it was that simplicity in terms of the description. I think Suzanne has done a fantastic job there in terms of, you know, explaining this in such a human way, right? Using very different kind of examples and analogies. So I invited all of my team to make sure that they listen to it. No, thank you for sharing. Fantastic. Well, listen, you know, from hosting and interacting with so many influential figures, right? I can imagine there probably have been a ton of unexpected kind of, you know, insights or things that perhaps you didn't really set the episodes to achieve, but, you know, they kind of, you know, sneaked through. So just keen to hear what are those kind of more unexpected, more kind of important insights you've gained?
Yeah, I feel like if I have an aha moment, then likely my listeners will too. Episode 37, it happened while we were recording. And I stopped and I says, oh, we need to dig into this deeper. And so what it was, I was interviewing Matt Evans and Matt Bergen of Qualtrics. They do smart surveys. A lot of their stuff is, you know, employee experience for inside of a company. It would be for employee, you know, HR is using it, right? IT, not so much. And then now here we are, you know, we're helping the CIO to measure employee experience using XLAs and experience level agreements. We're looking at a lot of data, you know, what's objective data that's coming off PCs and the devices and things like that. They're looking at the people happiness, you know, actually asking people how they're feeling. And we were looking at bringing those together to make an XLA more powerful. And it occurred to me in talking with them, because their audience is HR and my audience is the CIO, is that we now have a vehicle for CIOs and CHROs to start having a conversation collaboratively about employee experience. And I just never have seen that before, really. HR is off on the side, IT is over here. Now they're coming together. And I'm actually seeing clients of ours and other enterprises where the CIO and CHR are having this conversation about employee experience. And I think it's going to have a great payoff with great dividends.
Oh, great, great example there. And any others?
Episode 44. It's interesting. Here I am working in a digital workplace, and all of the services we've provided historically are for information workers, right? They're people that have a dedicated PC or laptop, a device. They might be, you know, mobile, having a laptop or a tablet in the field or something like that. I have completely overlooked the largest employee base, and that is frontline workers. And during the pandemic, we all started paying attention to frontline workers, right? We got to go home as information workers, but frontline workers could not. They're the people that stayed in the factory, stayed in hospitals, did the emergency, the police, you know, make sure the factories are still producing toilet paper that we were all hoarding, you remember, during the pandemic. But these frontline workers, their work environment got worse during the pandemic. Ours got better. And coming out of it, I did episode 44 where we said, how do we improve the frontline worker experience? And I just, you know, Stacey Hart or Rich Owen on my team, this is what they live and breathe. It's just brilliant listening to them on how they are finding ways to make it possible for the frontline workers to collaborate better, to have the tools they need, to get access to AI, things like that to make their job better. So that was another one.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, again, just hearing you talk about this, it will be one of those that I'll certainly go and re-listen, particularly talking to our clients around still that persona of a frontline worker being so important, right, to the success of any organization. Great, great example there. Thank you. Well, listen, we talked about the kind of more serious stuff, right, and sort of more relevant business insights, but let's shift a little bit and look at perhaps some fun or unique behind the scenes stories from recording a podcast. I'm sure there is thousands of those, and you've got a number of stories to tell. The ones you want to tell, of course, I can leave the rest for another time over a beer or two. But what are they? I bet there is loads.
Well, people have asked me about the music. They go, where'd you get that? I don't recognize it, you know, and it actually came from someone, a colleague of mine, Barry Tannenbaum. He's now retired, super technical Microsoft Ranger, really understands IT, you know, email exchange was his expertise in the day. And he has a blues band. And I said to him, says, hey, would you mind, you know, recording a riff for me, composing something, recording it? And he did. And that's what we're listening to in every one of the episodes. So I just, you know, hey, Barry, if you're listening, thank you very much for making this a better podcast. The other thing was I'm seeing unexpected collaboration that's happening as a result of the podcast. You think you record it, you put it out there, that's it. But I get a lot of people reaching out to me, maybe on LinkedIn or elsewhere. So I've had at least a couple of folks reach out and go, hey, I heard this so-and-so on this episode. That sounds too good to be true. Is that real? And I will assure them it is. This is the, what we talked about. It was a real example. And we'll put them, I'll put them in touch with, you know, whomever it was that was a guest. In some cases, it turns out that, you know, they end up becoming a client. We provide services to them as a result of that. But there's another type of collaboration too, and that is the expertise that my guests are bringing. I'm realizing, wow, we need to, Unisys, we need to tap into that expertise. So a couple of examples, Alan Nance, he's the, one of the co-founders of XLA Colab, Neil Keating, co-founder of BrightHorse. These are two companies that are focused on how to measure employee experience and how to set up an organization to do that work, and then what to do with that data so that you get insights and actions that turn into actual productivity improvements. Learned so much in those. I think that was episode 20. I actually did three with Alan. Started off with one. We got to do another, and we got to do another. And with Neil Keating, Alan was talking about the theory. With Neil, we looked at the real life examples, and with him, I asked him questions about what are people doing wrong with XLAs and experience management. So we did one on anti-patterns. I think that it was episode 24. So those were that type of collaboration where we ended up now using what we learned from BrightHorse and XLA Colab, now the XLA Institute, as they've merged, is a great form of collaboration.
No, fantastic example. And some, you know, legendary industry names, right? Neil both and Alan collaborating with us so closely on this evolution journey of you know, XLA, starting from that XLA 1.0 and now looking at what's next around the corner and looking at, you know, other areas that XLAs can focus on to really drive the value. No, fantastic example. Thank you. Well, and actually great segue here, because again, from unexpected to some fantastic collaborations, I'm sure that how you think about the topics for next episodes is exactly based, I guess, to some extent on the demand, right? What's the demand from the listeners, from the industry? So can you give us a quick glimpse of some episodes that perhaps are coming soon and what topics we'll be covering?
Okay, let me just pull up, I won't share all of them here, but maybe find a few. I love this one. So there's work going on with digital twins and how to capture.
Oh, wow.
Capture knowledge of people. So using digital twins, they can use it both with technology and people. We're looking at using with people in the digital workplace to capture knowledge of people that are retiring. How do we capture not just what's being done, but why? Why is, you know, a certain process being followed, or why does a certain piece of code do what it does? Obviously, we'll probably have more on AI and generative AI as we see, you know, there's a lot of promise there. Is it actually, you know, landing? Are we getting a ROI? So we'll probably look at that. Maybe do like with Neil Keating, we did the anti-patterns of experience management. Maybe we'll do anti-patterns of AI. We might do something like that. And of course, you know, we've talked about XLA 1.0, 2.0. What does XLA 3.0 look like? So sure, we'll have some conversations about that in the future too, Patricia.
Oh, fantastic. I want to listen to all of them. All so current and relevant, and a lot of conversation in the industry around digital twin. Wow, I see quite a lot circling there. But actually, you're right. I love the, you know, one, what does it mean in reality? Two, what are sort of pitfalls to avoid, right? As you just said with Gen AI. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interest in those. Well, listen, thank you. I just want to say that if you're new to the podcast and heard something that caught your attention today, of course, as we said, we'll share the links to all of the previous episodes, all 50 of those. Weston, thank you for being a guest on your own podcast. I bet it's perhaps a little bit uneasy at times, but how did you find the experience?
You heard me when I started. I was a little bit scared and anxious about getting going, but man, you have made it so easy and just a delightful conversation, Patricia. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, thank you. This wraps up our 51st episode, actually, of the Digital Workplace Deep Dive. I am your guest host, Patricia Sabera, and you'll be very pleased to hear that Weston Morris will be back in a host seat for the next episode. Thank you so much for listening.